Friends, this evening I'm turning to Exodus chapter 20 and to verse 8. Exodus chapter 20 to verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Our title for this evening is Keeping the Lord's Day Holy. Keeping the Lord's Day Holy. The Lord's Day, this fourth commandment, is so remarkable, and it's a very great day, that if people should understand and keep it as God wants it, it comes with tremendous blessings. That if people should really, really understand it and keep it, there are a lot of blessings that come. And yet, this has been neglected and profaned these days, both by the churches and by society at large. Almost all worldly activities are fixed on Sundays. Talk of football is on Sunday. Talk of political rallies, they are on Sundays. Every pleasure has been fixed on Sunday, a day that God has blessed and sanctified, that we should keep it holy, has been so neglected and profaned, and it's very, very sad. Because of this, we are missing the blessings of God. In fact, if you ask later on, we are going to know, all God's blessings hangs on this day, and how you keep it. Whether you be blessed by God or not, it hangs on how you keep the Sabbath day. No wonder churches of today are failing in saving souls. They are so weak, no spirituality. It's all because they are profaning the Lord's Day. So, what is the Lord's Day and what is the purpose? Why did God choose one day to be a special day that he said in 8 we should worship him? As we read in Isaiah 58, let's turn there briefly. Isaiah 58. This account in Isaiah 58, you can see that Isaiah was, through our Lord and our God, was chastising them in their formalism. Like, as he said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression. He was asking Isaiah to show them their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. According to Isaiah, he said, they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that as if they do righteousness. They seek him to know his ways, as if, and yet they forsake their, as if they don't forsake the ordinances. They ask me of the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. They say, wherefore have we fasted? Say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure. That's what God is saying. In the day of your fast, you find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the list of wickedness. So he's telling them that even though they claim to be following the ordinances, they do them in sin. The main thing that they should do, they are not doing it. So he goes down and speak about all these things. But that's not the subject for our discussion today. So we go straight to where our interest is. That is the Sabbath day. So if you turn with me to verse 13. He said, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. The holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. And he said, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That means this is from God himself. He's saying that if you keep the Sabbath as he wants you to keep it, he will bless you with all what he has said. He said, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob. So we are going to go through the scriptures to know exactly how to keep the day holy, so that you can receive all these promises from God. So basically what Isaiah is telling them is that God is promising them spiritual blessings, those who keep the Sabbath, because then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the highest of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. This is a wonderful promise. I don't think there's any promise in the Bible that is more than this from the Lord. And he said, the mouth of the Lord has spoken this. You look at the promises. First is communion with God. He promises a communion with him on that day. The word delight, it means to take pleasure in the Lord. Like to be overwhelmed by his beauty and his glory. And all these things are revealed in his attributes, like his holiness, his mightiness, his omniscience, as I was saying, his omnipotent. All these things are God's attributes, which he will let you delight in them if you spend the day as he wants it. Do you ponder over these things? If you keep the day holy, you see the promises. To delight in the Lord also is to enjoy special communion, like I said, and fellowship with him as compared to the normal days. The normal days we are fellowship with him, but this is a special day that he has set aside to bless us. It's a special. It can never be compared with any other day. So this communion is talking about can be compared to like a very luxurious garden that a king has prepared. That this is where you should meet him on that special day. And God meets you. It's also spelled out in Songs of Solomon, verse 4, verse 36. We are not telling the Bible, you can put it down. So if anyone wants to enjoy the Lord as we should, then you have to keep the Sabbath day. And then you can enjoy communion with him. And he asked more. He said, I will make you ride on the highest of the earth, which means victory. He will give you victory, spiritual victory. He uses this same victory in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 12 to 13, 33, verse 29. Here, God promised Israel victory over their enemies. He used the same word. Earlier in 33, verse 16, he uses the same language to promise the people victory over their enemies. And when they returned from exile, that was a picture of their victory over their enemies. Now, in the New Testament, in our own time, there is still a promise of victory in Christ. He said, in Christ, we are more than conquerors. In Romans 8, verse 37, in Christ, we are more than. But you can never apply this to yourself if you are not observing the Sabbath. From the account we are reading now, you can't say that in Christ, you are more than conqueror when you are not observing the Sabbath as it should. It means we shall have victory over Satan and sin. If people knew all these things, I don't think people would run to prophets and so-called healers, because it is here in the Bible, the God who created you is saying that you keep this day holy, and I'll give you victory over your enemies. I'll give you victory over the power of sin and Satan. And Christ is saying that in him we are more than conquerors. So all these things you can apply to yourself when you are also keeping the Sabbath day holy. The day can also be as a means of grace. Because apart from a special communion with the Lord, the Sabbath keeping too can be a means of grace. When I say a means of grace, the means by which we mortify ourselves of sin. Our sanctification is the means of grace. The means of grace includes prayer, Bible reading, church attendance, services to God. If you are doing all these things, then you are starving your old self and then you are growing your new self. You know, when we come to be born again, we are born again, but our old self is still there fighting with the new one. And the only way to fight it is the means of grace. By praying, by reading your Bible, by going to church, by serving the Lord. By doing this, you are starving the old self and you are growing the new self. So obviously, the old self will be conquered by the new self. So it can be a means of grace. Because if you are keeping this, even if there's a sin that you can never stop, through keeping the Sabbath, you'll be able to stop that sin. Because God said He will give you victory over Satan and of sin. So this means of grace, it will help you to die to sin and then grow in holiness. And like I said earlier on, I very strongly believe that this is the reason why there are spiritual weaknesses in our churches, in their failure to honor God on that day. These days, no church is observing the day as it is here, which we are going to learn how to keep it holy. People go to church, and as soon as they close, they can go and open their shop. They think they have given what is for God to God, and now the rest is for them. When He has given you 6 good days, just keep 1 day for Him. People can't do that. From churches, they go to the football field. From churches, they go to partying. From churches, they go to all sorts of places. And by doing that, you are profaning the day. And as individuals, we are the same thing. In the same way as the churches are becoming weak because of not keeping the Sabbath, as individuals, if you have ignored one very major means of victory over sin, how can you come up? This is a major means of overcoming your sin. So if you profane it, how can you come up with the dominion of that sin? You can't. And like I said, you can never apply the Romans 8:37 to yourself unless you are keeping the Sabbath day holy. And another benefit is practical enjoyment of salvation benefits. The salvation has benefits. So one of the benefits of keeping the Sabbath day is the enjoyment of salvation benefits. Because He said, I will feed you with the heritage of your father Jacob. And to feed on it is to enjoy the benefits. In Psalm 105 verse 10 to 11, God promised Israel that they will enjoy again the inheritance promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He mentioned all of them. And when He said they will possess the land, it was a symbol of their inheritance as God's covenant people. Also in Psalm 144 verse 20-15, not only did God promise to restore their land, but also He promised them prosperity, which He said they will enjoy in the benefits of their possession. So people may say, a lot of people say this, that all these things apply to the Israelites in the Old Testament and not to us. But we'll learn later that all these things apply to us because we are the spiritual Israel. And as I said earlier on about our inheritance and the benefits of the salvation, in salvation we have adoption. We have been adopted by Christ. So we are children of God through our salvation. By salvation, we have assurance. Pastor has taught us about assurance already, so we know what it means for God to assure you that I am with you. You have become my son. Now I am with you. God assures us. In salvation, we have boldness in prayer. When you are assured, you can also pray to God boldly because you know that God hears you and He will answer you. We also have confidence. Because of the assurance, because we know we are saved, we have confidence. These are all spiritual benefits to be enjoyed in keeping the salvation. And one remarkable thing about it is that it said, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Anytime Isaiah uses this word, it makes it very firm and solemn. that God, who cannot lie, has said this. And he has been referring to these things, in especially when it comes to the Messiah and the remission of sin. For instance, in Isaiah 15, verse 18 to 20, you can read it. After promising of remission of sin to those who repent by threatening judgment on those who refuse God, he said, "Truly the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And by saying this, it's like God is guaranteeing the promise that he has said it. He who is God the Creator, he has said it. And once he has said it, you can trust that he will do it. It's like God is saying that, "I, the Lord, who cannot lie, I promise that if you keep my Sabbath and delight in it, you will delight in me." Delight in it, to be happy on that day. You can get spiritual victory and then enjoy your inheritance. It's a promise. He's saying that, "I, God, who cannot lie, I'm saying that if you keep my Sabbath and delight in it, you also delight in me, and you gain spiritual victory, and you enjoy your inheritance." And what is happening today? We are profanity. Everybody, including myself. When I was preparing this note, I was even shaking. I was saying to myself, "I'm guilty of this." Because later on, we'll get to know exactly how it is to keep the day holy. And then some people too are saying that this, like I said, does not apply to us. It is applied to the Old Testament times to the people of Israel. But we know that spiritual command is forever and ever. Its part is not for the Old Testament, and part is for the New Testament. It runs forever and ever. And in determining whether it applies to us, it is important to consider the context by which he said it. If you look at what Isaiah was saying, and Isaiah 58 is all talking about Christ and the new order, the new church. Like I said, the promises of God is all in this Isaiah 58 account, where he even calls sinners to repentance. All this refers to the New Testament era. And in chapter 56, verse 2 to 5, you see that God now begins to relate the Sabbath to the New Testament people. I don't want to read it, but maybe you can. I can read it from here to you. He said, "Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his son from doing any evil." Verse 3, "Neither let the son of the stranger that join himself to the Lord speak, saying, 'The Lord has utterly separated me from his people.' Neither let the eunuch," this eunuch is people who are castrated. In the Old Testament times, we will prove it here. God forbid them from entering his house. And here he's saying that, "Neither let the eunuch," it is God who is saying that through the prophet Isaiah, "Neither let the eunuch say, 'Behold, I'm a dry tree.' For that say the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath." So he's saying that for those who keep his Sabbath, which is the New Testament, "and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give my house, and within my walls a place and a name better than sons and daughters." This is the promise to the eunuchs who were forbidden to enter, according to Deuteronomy, which we will read later on. So you can see that it's referring to the New Testament. Otherwise, you cannot say that the eunuch can enter his house, because the same people are forbidden to enter God's house. So we know that this thing is for the New Testament. From the verse 5, it says, "Even unto them will I give my house, and within my walls a place and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be out of." So how do we know that this applies to the New Testament era? Like I said, because it's only in the New Testament that eunuchs enjoy the privilege. Because of the grace, they can enjoy the privilege of being in God's house. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1, let's turn there quickly. 23, verse 1. Here, God was setting out rules for their living. From 22, it's all rules. Then you come to 23, verse 1. He said, "He that is wounded in the stones, or has his privy member cut off," like castrated, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. This is what was said in Deuteronomy. And then if Isaiah is saying that God will allow Enoch to enter into his house, where else can he be? It can never be in the Old Testament. It is in the New Testament that he's talking about, because he was talking about the coming of Christ and the new church. So we can see that this relates to the New Testament. Now that we are able to prove that it is for the New Testament, we come to the conditions of the promise. What are the conditions that if you meet, you get this promise? And it's all where we read from the verse 13. He said, if you turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable. You see, he's saying that if you want to enjoy the promises, you must have proper regard for the Sabbath day. You see that here Isaiah starts with the negative. He said, because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, if because of the Sabbath you turn from doing your own things. So he's talking about the holy day of the Lord. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 18, Jesus is referred to as the Lord of the Sabbath. The same thing in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. It's referred to as the day of the Lord. So the day is considered a holy day. And like I said earlier on, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 to 3, after God had created the earth, in 6 days, he rested on the seventh day. Here, I would like to explain something for you to understand, because the people are saying that because he rested on the seventh day, the Sabbath should be on Saturday. Our FBA friends are still keeping to the Saturday because they believe that it has never changed. But it has been changed. It has been changed with the coming of Christ. Because with the resurrection of Christ, that gave birth to Christianity. That was the beginning of Christianity. So if the day begins from the first day of the week, then that first day becomes our Sabbath. Let's turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continue his speech until midnight. You see? So what were they doing? They were breaking bread. Where do we break bread? In the church, isn't it? So they were in the church, and he's saying that on the first day of the week. When is the first day of the week? The first day of the week is Sunday. Because sometimes SBA people will make argument that Paul himself worshipped on the Saturday, which is true, but that was before the resurrection. So they were worshipping on the Saturday until Christ came back to life on the Sunday. That began the Christian era. So that is the beginning of the Sabbath. We can also turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is Paul speaking. He said, now concerning the collection for the sins, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, again, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him. He's talking about tithes. That there be no gatherings when I come. That when they meet on the first day of the week, this is what they should do. And when the first day of the week is Sunday. So, Lord, nobody deceive you. And God can never have 2 days for the Sabbath. After all, worship begins from heaven. As we have met here today, angels will have met. So how can angels meet on Sunday and we meet on Saturday? It can't work. We all meet. That is why when we come to church, we don't dance. Because we can't assume that angels are dancing in heaven. So what happens there is the same thing that happens here. They are worshiping on Sunday. We also worship on Sunday. This is the Christian era. If you are worshiping on a Saturday, then you are not a Christian. That is why I always say SDA is a cult. Because they believe and care. The Bible says curse to anyone who follows the law. So if they say they are following the law, then they can't say they are Christians. If you are a Christian, you follow Christ. And Christ is arrested on Sunday. And that became our Sabbath day. So the Sabbath day changed from Saturday to Sunday. Anyway, that's not our subject, but just to clarify one thing before we go on. And like I said earlier on, in the Matthew account, he said, Christ is referred to as the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. So how can we can't choose any other day apart from the day that he came back from death to life. That was the day that was chosen to be the Sabbath day. So now, what does it mean that God makes a day holy, or to keep a day holy, or to sanctify a day, to set a day apart? Sanctify means to set apart. And when God sanctifies something, God has been sanctifying so many things in the Bible. Sometimes he sanctifies some places, some garments, some special garments were sanctified, some altars were sanctified, and all these things, when they are sanctified, they are dedicated to his worship, solely for his worship. So when God says a day is sanctified, it means that day is dedicated for his worship. It means he has separated that day from any other day, from everyday use, for exclusive worship of God. And on that day, even things that you can lawfully do on the other days, you are prohibited. If you do it, you are profaning the day. In our modern times, we say doing your own thing. If you are doing your own thing, apart from doing what the Lord wants you to do, which we are going to learn quickly, you are profaning the day. He said, when you do your own things on God's day, you profane it. So if you want to enjoy the promises of God, you have to refrain from all these things and do not profane the day. Don't think that God is against pleasure. No, you can have your own pleasure, but not on the Sunday. You can have it on any other day that he has given you, but on the Sunday, you can't do that. Because he has set up that day for a special, there's no pleasure on this earth that can be compared to having pleasure with God. And that is what you can have on that day. So why should you have any other pleasure? What pleasure can you have on that day? That would be more than having pleasure with the Lord. So we are to take great pleasure on that day in worship, in fellowship, in Christian service. In our church, we are fortunate that it is easier to do this than the other churches. Because sometimes when you close from church and you have to just go home and that is it for the whole day, you'll be tempted to do things that you're not supposed to do on the Lord's day. We are fortunate that we can stay here the whole day. I remember I used to visit a church in some part in London. What they do is after the morning service, they all go to the pastor's house. They're also very few like us. They go to the pastor's house, have lunch, and then from there, they go to nursing homes or hospitals to visit people till the evening service. And they come back to church. So from church, they go home. So you see that you have spent the whole day with the Lord. And we are fortunate here, we do the same thing. We come to church, to church service, have lunch here, pick some day school children, teach them, come in the evening, and go home by 7:30. So you see, you have spent the whole day with the Lord. And if you can keep to it, the promises, as I've just told you, it will be amazing. But like I said, we are all guilty. But I'm sure beginning from today, I have promised myself anyway, so I'm sure we are all going to keep it and see if God will not give us the promises that he has given us in the Bible. If we honor the day, as it is said in Isaiah 58 verse 13, like desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own way. So you see, you honor the day by doing three things. First, you are not to do your own regular work except for works of necessity or of mercy. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 to 8, from 12, 9 to 14, it states the works of necessities and the works of mercy. We are not to work or work others. It means we are also not to let other people work. Which means we should not buy or sell. Because if you are buying, then you are letting the person who is selling to you work. So we don't buy, we don't sell on that day. Now, we are not to go to office or store on Sundays. We are not even to be doing unnecessary housework on Sunday. It's not Sunday that you choose to guard, to weed your garden or do other things that are not necessary. Things that you can postpone till the next day. You are not supposed to do all of them. You should avoid eating out. If you go and eat in a restaurant on Sunday, you are profaning it. Because you are getting them to work. If you go to the shop on Sunday, you are profaning it. If you travel on Sunday, you are profaning it. So you say we should avoid eating out, going to the shops, or traveling. You don't do any of this on Sundays. Secondly, you are not to use Sundays for play, for amusement. That is why he said, turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day. Now, the third point is that you are not to use Sundays for unnecessary conversation about work and about recreation. You don't converse about these things on Sunday. He said, cease speaking your own word. It means don't speak about your work or your recreation. And set your mind on things of the Lord. On that day, just set your mind on things of the Lord. The Westminster Shorter Catechism summarizes all these things in Isaiah 58, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, the fourth commandment forbids the omission or careless performance of the duties required, and the profaning the day by idleness or doing that which is in itself sinful, or by unnecessary thoughts, words, or work about our worldly employment or recreation. See, so how should we spend the day? And question 6 of the same confession says, the Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all the day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship. Which means even if you can't be in church and you have to go home, which is the private exercises, you can only go home and be reading your Bible or to be meditating about God. You can't just go home and attend a funeral or attend any worldly party because you have finished church. No, even if you have to go home, you go home having your mind set on things about God and about God's worship. So, in summary, we should only do things that will bring glory to God. So, when you are doing anything, ask yourself, would this thing bring glory to God? So, what things bring glory to God? That's the question. We serve Him by, one, speaking His word. On that day, we speak His word. Or visit the sick and the less privileged. Witnessing and sharing tracts. Teaching and preaching His word. And then visiting, if you have to visit people in their homes, you visit with the sole aim of ministering to them. You don't just go to somebody and be conversing like the normal days you do. When you are going to somebody, then you are going to minister to the person. If it's on a Sunday, you should not just go as normal visit. You go with the aim of going to minister to the person. So, in conclusion, let me say that the Sabbath is a day of great gift that God has given us. And we must have time and pleasure with Him. See, God wants us to focus on the gift. And you see, God is a God who cannot lie, so He cannot bend it. This is His condition. If you meet it, He will also bless you. God cannot lie. If He says He will bless you, He will bless you. But it is for you to meet it and see. So, what He's saying is that He will cause you to delight in Him to have spiritual victory and enjoy the benefits of the gospel. And he swears, he said, if you want to delight in me, if you want pleasure and victory, stop profaning my day and rather call it a delight. And he said, I, the Lord, I have spoken. So, if we want the blessing, otherwise you come to church, you will pray and all these things, but you will never, never get that blessing until you start doing this. And I'm sure if all churches will come to realize this, to believe in this, and have the willing to do this, there will be tremendous blessings. We'll have breakthrough in saving souls. Even our small church here, if we can observe this thing as God has said, we are sure to obtain all these blessings and the promises that the Lord has given us. Because, like I said earlier on, he said, I, the Lord, I have spoken. God has spoken. The God who cannot lie is saying that I have spoken. If you do it, I will also do this to you. So, my prayer is that we'll be able to understand. God should grant us understanding of this. And also, the way to respond to this fourth commandment. It is the only commandment that starts with remember. Which means it was there before even the law. So remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we learn from the times of the wilderness. When they were picking the manna, they were to pick 6 days. On the same day, they picked twice. They were not supposed to pick on the seventh day, which is Sabbath. So it means this law, this commandment was there before the law was passed. So it is a very, very, very important commandment that we should keep. And especially with all the promises that the Lord has given us. And like I said earlier on, if as a church we can be serious about this, God will give us victory over everything that we want to do. He will bless us with all the blessings that he has promised in the Bible. And I pray that he will give us heart to understand this and the will to respond. Let's pray. Oh God, our gracious and merciful Father, we thank you, Father, for thy word today about the Lord's day and how to spend it. Oh Heavenly Father, we thank you for all thy promises and especially the solemnity that you have spoken from thy mouth this has come forth. Father, help us to believe these things. Help us to be able to live as such and enjoy the blessings that follow. Oh, our Heavenly Father, come and bless thy word that it will be fruitful today. We thank you, Father, for hearing us, even as we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.